Before that we go any further in this service, I just want to reiterate once again how thankful that I am for this day to commemorate the veterans. Very few places do this. But I hope and pray that we'll continue as God gives us the years, gives us the time, allows us to gather together, that we remember that the freedom that we have to assemble here came with a cost. You've heard the saying that freedom isn't free. There's always a cost with it. But I am so thankful today for each and every veteran, each and every one that is here, because I know that as we sang that song, we got two things in common. That is, we've been blood washed, blood bought, and blood sanctified by the blood of Christ Jesus. That first and foremost. And then second of all, we're all Americans. That sounds like I'm saying too much here, but we are truly grateful for that citizenship, dual citizenship, if you will, that we have. And we ask that you pray for this service today, that God will be honored and glorified in everything that we say or that we do. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to 2 Timothy, starting in the second chapter. Timothy, the second chapter, we're going to start with the first verse. And of course, everyone is familiar with 1 Timothy, that Paul was in prison at this time, and his heart turned towards perhaps the churches that he had served. And he knew that his time was at hand. That is, that he would depart, that God would call him home. And as he wrote this to Timothy, I think we can say that he wrote it to all of us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And when I say men, I mean all of us, male and female today. Starting with the first verse of the second chapter of the book of the Corinthian letter, we find these words. Thou therefore, my son, and I want you, while I'm reading this, to just for a moment pretend that Paul is writing this to you from the Mamertine prison in Rome, about to be executed. Just for a moment, just kind of take Timothy's name out of your mind and just put your name in there. Thou therefore, my son Paul, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except that he strive lawfully. The husbandman must be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. For he cannot deny himself. We want to stop there for just a moment at the 13th verse. If correctly read, it's the first down through the 13th verse of the second chapter of 2 Timothy. Our text and our thought and our verse that we'll base, with God's help, our remarks on will come from that third verse, which says, Thou therefore, Marilyn, thou therefore, Linda and Ron, and I could go all through this congregation, but remember, this is to you. This is to you. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If we don't realize it now, we are not only in fellowship, but also we're in a battle. And I think that as we become more aware of what's going on around us, that becomes more evident. The Bible says that if we walk in the flesh, he said, we do not war after the flesh. Because the battle that we are fighting is not a battle necessarily with an army that is seen, but it's unseen. There's a realm. And I don't want to get into the mystic fact of there's portals that go into another time frame. That's not it at all. But we're fighting a battle against, the Bible says, principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I remarked to my wife and said, you know, if I preach this today, it's going to give the wrong impression, and it might make you think you're in the wrong army, but you're not. You've been saved. And I believe with that salvation, there is a calling of God. Some are called to preach the word, to proclaim, to rightfully divide the word of truth. Preach the word, Paul said over in one place. I believe that even Christian brethren and sisters have a calling in serving God, gifts that are given. And then also we'll be centering upon the weaponry that God has given us and that God bestowed upon us. We're to endure hardness. Now, what is it to endure hardness today? Well, I don't want any more coming upon me than what I've already been dealing with. I don't want any more controversy. I don't want any more things happening. I just want to go in peace to my little cabin out in the woods, or in my case, a cave far away. And I have been looking at property with caves on it. But at any rate, I believe that we are to endure hardness. Elkton Church, you are to endure hardness. Every born-again Christian is to endure hardness. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he goes on a little bit further and he says that as you endure this, understand this is not a command. This is not just an option. It's not just a prerogative. It's not just something, I'll take up my cross and follow him, you know, whenever I feel like it. But I want you to know today, it's a command of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking through and writing through the Apostle Paul, that we are to endure hardness. Now, what is hardness? Or what is endurance? It's being able to put up with. It's being able to take care of oneself, but yet take care of the Lord's business. It's being able to, when troubles and trials come, and especially from the spiritual realm, it's being able to stave off discouragement. You ever get discouraged today? That's one of the weapons that Satan uses on God's people. He'll get you to look at statistics that churches are decreasing in number, and that in our land there are other religions that are just remotely, and not even that, similar to the Christianity that we serve. He'll try to get us to get our eyes off of Christ, our eyes off of what we've been called to do. And so we find that whenever that we have these trials, whenever that we have these disappointments, whenever that we are cast down, when we wake up discouraged, you know, he said, look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're to endure. It's an imperative. Who else is he going to depend upon, except to depend upon you and upon I? Who else is he going to call? Who else is he going to use? Who else is he going to stand in the gap? As we see people passing off the scene that we didn't dream possible, that it would happen. The old stalwarts, the ones that we look to for the wisdom, that we look to for the knowledge, that we look to for the encouragement, for the instruction. As they pass off the scene, it can get very discouraging. I give unto you today, whenever that Elijah was taken up by the chariot of God, swing low, sweet chariot, because he took him up in that chariot. And Elisha was left alone, and he said, the horsemen of God and of Israel that have come and taken my master. But there's one thing that Elijah left for Elisha, and that was the mantle. That was the symbol of Elijah's authority and his standing with God. And I want you to know that even though that we've got forefathers that have left us and we wish that they were here, we wish that we could see, you know, how that it was back years ago. If they were only here, we can endure this. But I want you to know you have a mantle that God has given unto each and every one of us. My friend, what will you do with your mantle that has fallen down at your feet? I want you to know what Elisha did. He didn't whine about it. He could have cried tears that would have filled a river because of the passing of Elijah. But he could not bring him back. And Elijah is up there somewhere with God. Now, don't ask me about the details of that. Did he pass through death? Did he do this? Did he do that? All I know is God took him and brought him up into his presence. But Elisha had to stay and carry on the torch and carry on the mission that Elijah had started. And so what he did, he picked up the mantle of Elijah. And no doubt he thought, I'm not worthy to carry this. I'm not well versed as Elijah was. I'm not able to do all the things that he did. But I want you to know what he did. He did prove the God of Elijah. He walked to the river of Jordan that was nearby and took the mantle and smote the river of Jordan. And do you know what happened? It parted. You see, God is still the same. It says in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you get discouraged, whenever that you feel that you're losing in the battle, let me tell you something. You're not losing in the battle. You're just listening to the wrong coach. And God will guide and direct and will lead you. He said in one place in the book of James, he said, count it all joy when you fall into temptation. Now, that word temptation is not temptation like we think of. But it actually comes from a Greek word that means a trial, to be tried. Sometimes our faith is going to be tried. If it hasn't been, it will be soon, and probably sooner than we think. But he said, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And that's a great asset to have as a soldier of Jesus Christ, to have patience. Have you ever prayed for patience? Not too many people are in agreement on it. Give me patience and give it to me now. And then God brings you patience. And how does he do it? According to his word, through the trying of your faith. And there's not been a patriarch, there's not been a prophet, there's not been an apostle. Even the apostle Paul was tried. His faith was put to the test as to what it was. But you know, in that, God was tempering him. God was exercising that faith that he had exercised towards the Lord Jesus Christ whenever that he was saved. And sometimes we have to go through that to become stronger and stronger and stronger. We also find that the Bible tells us, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Patience. The race that is set before us. Have you ever watched a long-distance runner? Have you ever watched how that he paces himself? And he does not look back. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not look back and say that the days behind us were the best days. The best days are ahead of us. We're the generation that may face persecution. We may face it like our forefathers never faced it, but my friend, God was always with his people, and he'll be with you, and he will strengthen you, and he will not only give you patience, but also the strength that is needed to encounter what we may encounter in the days to come. Now, I'm not going to predict any great thing that's going to happen. I'm not going to predict that there's going to be this happen and that happen. I'm like the song that says, I just live by day. And I have to be reminded of that. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. Yes, I know about what may be happening in the future. But when it comes down to serving God, I have to leave it into his hands. And you can ask my wife, that's one of the hardest things for me to do, is to leave everything in the hands of God. Hardship, endure hardness as a good soldier in Jesus Christ. Look at the hardships that they went through to come to this country. Out of about 200 to 600 that went on the Mayflower, only through that first winter did probably 60 survive. And they nearly all of them. That's a hardship. That is something today that would alarm us in this day and time. But my friend, that's the hardship that they went through. Look at the hardship today that they went through to make this country a nation, a republic. The odds were against them. They were going up against an enemy. And I'm not against Great Britain. I admire them. But boy, back then, they had a fight on their hands. and they didn't have the supplies. I've heard stories and read of journals and accounts where that many of those soldiers in that First Continental Army trudged through the snow barefooted. Their shoes, their boots had worn out. That's hardship today. I get a rock in my shoe and I scream bloody murder. I can't imagine walking through the snow. But a lot of times, some of them didn't make it. Some of them starved. Some of them became the targets of a gun's volley today. But you know, one thing that always did impress me, every book that I've ever opened, and they depict what was going on in that day and time, they would show their general out somewhere away from the camp that had bivouacked, and he'd be on his knees with his hands clasped, calling unto Almighty God. And I want to tell you, that's how that we became a nation. That's how that this country came into being. It was the will of God against all odds. It was a David against a Goliath today. It was almost like a hopeless situation, but they were able to prevail, and they were able to find victory, and they were able to have a nation where that we have this freedom today. Now, this nation is not perfect. I'll be the first to admit. But you know, we're not striving for perfection. We're striving today to live up to those principles that were first laid down. And we can debate them, we can argue over them, but my friend, we can come together and we can say, we're Americans. We're brothers, we're sisters, and whatever comes our way, we're going to do like our first general did and go out perhaps into the snow and clasp our hands together and pray for God's guidance and God's help. Because, brother, any kind of hardship that a person goes through, that's the first source to go to, is unto God. I want to give just a brief mention of my father. My father wasn't saved when he went overseas, but he had some idea about it. And later, and he never divulged a lot of what he went through to me. You know, I would get his packs out and look at the stuff, and I'd ask him, Dad, what was this? What is this? What was this for? And he, that's a medal. Or, that's just a battle flag. Even had a kamikaze scarf, if you can believe that. Someone asked me one time, how in the world did he get a kamikaze scarf? If kamikaze just dry, you know, that's their whole mission, to go into a ship. They captured an island. They captured an island. And you know, I think about God's providence, how easily that his ship might have or could have been a target. I just throw that in for measure. We are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier, my friend, is disciplined. Is disciplined. You ask any of these veterans that are here today, and they learned discipline. Now, they might have been disciplined to begin with, but they were taught, they were pushed, they were cajoled. You know, I can't even imagine what they went through in basic training. But then after that, to go into active service, to be called no telling where, they were disciplined. And you know, they were disciplined to be able to fight the battle, to be able to stand, to be able to do what was needed to keep us free today. We're called to be disciplined. Disciplined about what? Disciplined to be able to stand. Having done therefore, Paul said in the book of the Ephesian letter, having done therefore all to stand, stand therefore. Don't give way to the devil. Don't give way to Satan. by any means. One of the ways is to stand on the Word of God. The Word of God, as Hebrews says, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Get into the Word of God. Get into what the pages say. I can guarantee I watched a program today of a debate between a minister and someone of another faith. I won't mention the name of that faith, but let's just leave it that there's an abundance of them in this war, in this country. But nevertheless, they debated back and forth, and I was so surprised what that man of the other faith knew about the Bible. He quoted John almost all the way through. You see, the enemy will try to use Scripture on us to try to throw us. Satan did it to Jesus. Why wouldn't the minions of Satan try to do it to us? But get into the Word of God. Know the basics of what we believe and why we believe it, and be able to stand. And if they say, well, you all believe in a Trinity, you believe in three gods, we just believe in one, and He is over all. No, we believe in one God, and in that Godhead, there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And my friend, find that proof to be able to stand, because we may confront it sooner than we think. But we're to stand. We're to be disciplined. We're to be disciplined in prayer. And I know that I've preached this before. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't give up. Pray without ceasing. The Bible tells us in one place, it says, I exhort thee therefore, son Timothy, he said, that first of all, supplications and prayers and giving of thanks be given for all men, especially unto the saints of God. Paul never ceased to mention prayer in his exhortations or in his letters. We find that a good soldier puts the mission first. How many of you would have remained in the military if you had told your commander, no, I don't feel like going out to the field today. No, I'm going to stay home and watch Wheel of Fortune. You send the others out. How long would you have lasted? Not very long, would you? I want you to know we put our mission in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you something. People may get tired of hearing about Christ and Him crucified, but it's our mission to take that message, that gospel, unto every creature. And it says to go out into all the world, but your world may be your next door neighbor. It may be somebody that doesn't go to church, that needs to hear the gospel. We preach Christ. Paul said in one place, and Him crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto those that are saved, the power of God. You see, my friend, the only thing that could break the power of sin for an individual is the preaching of the cross, repentance towards God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 20, 21, Paul said to the Miletus elders in Ephesus, he said, I have not ceased to preach anything else but that. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection, people can't comprehend that. But don't let them talk you out of your belief in it. There is coming a resurrection. And our Lord will one day come back. And I've looked, and this sounds terrible, but I've looked at vaults. I've been in funeral homes. And I look and I say, Lord, how in the world are you going to resurrect that individual? Well, He spoke the world into existence by just the word of His power. He framed these worlds by His word. He created it all. My friend, even when a volcano erupts, there's a purpose behind it, and God is in control. That just amazes me. And so sometimes the things that we think are impossible with man, it's possible with God. Did you hear what I was saying? The things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Jesus said there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Now, I don't know the scientific way he's going to do it. And I think that's where some of my colleagues in other disciplines, they keep trying to figure out how that a resurrection can take place. Sometimes what you have to do is just believe it. If Lazarus came forth, and that's recorded even in history, as Christ broke the power of death by his resurrection upon the third day, even so when Christ comes, he is going to resurrect us. Now, I don't know where I'll be or this body will be. I do know this. Absent from the body, at home with the Lord. A lot of people say, well, preacher, we kind of know you and you're kind of absent in the mind. But I want to tell you something today. Whenever that you hear the news, Paul Kofor is dead, don't you believe it. Because I'll be more alive than ever before. My eternal life began whenever that I was saved by the grace of God, and your eternal life also began at that time. And my friend, your eternal life is going to go on and on and on. And when you go to a funeral today, yes, it's a sad occasion, but also there's a hope there. I used to have a friend, a brother, Donald Bybee. We held revivals together in some of the country churches to the south. And I remember doing funerals with him. And he would bow at the graveside and put his hand on the casket and said, Lord, we're just sowing seed here. We're just sowing seed. And one day, this little fellow or this individual, this saint of God, is going to come forth in a glorified body likened unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that hope. We're victors already. Do you want to know how the story ends? Christ triumphs. And we share in that. Amen? He does. I want to tell you something also. We have that victory in him over death and over death by sin. Christ broke the power of sin in the lives of each and every one who will repent and believe upon him. The Bible tells us we're justified freely by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, I went to a place up north of here, a river town. And in this river town, they had a slave block. And I got upon it and I tried to imagine what that would be like to have no say into what happened to you, to have no resource to free yourself. But you know, we were all that way spiritually. We were bound in sin. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And we had a judgment ahead of us that I would not want to wish on anybody. But thanks be unto God, he broke that. And my friend, through repentance towards him, faith in him today, we have that hope and we have that assurance that we have been saved and that we have been kept by the power of God. So he said, later, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. As you go into battle with Satan, yes, Satan is strong. Yes, he has a reputation for overcoming people. But my friend, Christ has overcome him. And if you don't believe it, read the latter part of the book of Revelation, where that it says that he, the beast, and the false prophet were cast into the lake that burneth with fire and with brimstone. He said to stay firm in the faith. Stay firm in the faith of Christ Jesus. And encourage others today. If there's somebody that's disappointed, if there's somebody that's down, if there's somebody that says, you know, what's the use? I don't want to have anything more to do with religion or to do with faith or going to church or whatever the case might be. Encourage them. Tell them, look, we're meeting over here. And you know, we need you. We need you. Sister Carolyn can tell you that the motto of the Marines, and this is not to say anything bad about the Army, Navy, and Air Force, and I hope I've got them all covered. But Sister Carolyn can tell you that the motto of the Marines is the Marines are looking for a few good men. I want to tell you something today. Christ Jesus is looking for you. He's looking for you to be that one good individual that he can use. And you might say, I can't do anything. Don't say that to the Lord. You can do something. You put your life, you put your faith, you put your very being into the hands of Almighty God, and he'll make you, and he'll shape you, and he'll give you what you stand in need of to be a good soldier unto him. So we close our few remarks as you leave this place and go out into the world. Don't forget to put your armor on. And what would those soldiers have done in Paul's day if they just ran out into it, into the open in a tunic or just bare? But he said, have your loins girt about with the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. God said through Jesus, sanctify them through thy word is truth. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Somewhere along the line, someone is going to see the works of Christ of salvation in you. And they're going to ask questions. Or God's going to lead you to somebody about their soul. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The breastplate of righteousness. You know your righteousness is not your own. It's the righteousness of Christ. When God saves a soul, he does not clean up our righteousness, because you know why? Our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But he covers us in the righteousness of Christ. The helmet of salvation. Knowing the assurity that you've been born again and been saved by the grace of God. If there is a person ever in this world that doubts or wonders where they stand with God, they need to be saved, and we need to get the message to them. The shield of faith, one of the most important parts of your armament. They tell me that some of the shields that the Romans used, and probably Brother Steve can substantiate this better than I can, And I welcome any correction if I'm wrong on this, but part of the shield was made of leather, of all things. It had metal in it, but it also had leather. And the idea was that whenever that a fiery arrow would come their way, they had their shield up, and that would be soaked in water, and it would extinguish these arrows that were flaming. That's why that he said, take unto you the shield of faith, that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then the last piece to take with you is this, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Look at what it says. Be ready for anything, because we know that our enemy goes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So as we close our remarks today, I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful for the veterans that have served. I'm thankful for each and everything that they did, how they put themselves into harm's way. God bless you, brethren. And you may have sisters, or you may have nieces, or whatever the case might be that served. You tell them thank you also.